This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
And on this final part of our look into BFM's digital explorations, who said video killed the radio star? Because BFM's very own video team has been doing some impressive content that's been helping our radio presence as well. With me now in the studio is...
I'm Bahir Yusuf. I'm one of the video producers at BFM Radio.
And I'm Jasmine Sia. I'm also a video producer at BFM Radio.
And Bahir, I think people know you from your collaboration with Uma at the movies.
Yes.
People have heard you before.
Yes, they have, unfortunately for them. I also do At the Movies with Uma and Ian McNally.
And Jasmine, people actually may have seen you on BFM's radio Facebook page because of your series Roommate.
You can check Roommate out on Facebook. It's about adulthood and how to navigate that for millennials.
All right. I brought you guys in because BFM started off as a radio station, but very soon after, we were dabbling with video and, you know, initial stages was, you know, just trying out what we can do with the interviews that we had and, you know, pushing it beyond on what we could do on radio and let's try to put it on video itself. But it's changed now. What are some of the things that you guys do that it's, you know, it's very different from what we would hear BFM?
Well, I suppose it's something that we wanted to be an extension of what BFM Radio has to offer. Anything else apart from that, it has to be more visual, more than just business FM. So on video itself, we try to show more emotive and topical stories, more people story, more how can we go in depth, and we link it back to radio essentially. So it's an extended arm instead of an entity itself.
Yeah, so we were with regards to Roommate, we were trying, Brother Jasmine was trying to do this show about how it is for millennials to become adults, right? So credit card, loans, etc. And then what has happened was that one of the other belts, the Morning Run team, came to us and said, hey, we could do this thing with Ringgit and Sense where we will then continue the conversation. So that's sort of the kind of things we want to try and do. We've done interviews with the guests who've come in for the breakfast grill. We've had musicians come through for the weekend shows and we will do a video interview with them. And to take that even further, we've also done just standalone documentaries. Last year's Merdeka, we did a piece on the stadium. And then for last year's Ramadan month, we did a piece on a guy who had just converted into Islam and fasting for the first time. So we're looking at all these sort of interesting side stories that have got nothing to do with BFM's business station, but rather still fits with the BFM ethos of telling Malaysian stories, really.
And this is also to get new types of audience in the brand itself.
So I think, well, what we'd like to try and do as well is with these kinds of videos where we reach out to different particular target markets, right? So the potentially the millennials or the younger crowd who don't tune in to the radio station because they think that it's just talk radio, it's business radio, it's politics radio, but we want to showcase the station as also having essentially personalities. You know, you can listen to the Evening Edition where they've got just talk radio, where you can talk back to them, where you can, and then there's At the Movies there, but you've also got the Enterprise Belt, which does SME businesses and talking about technology and the future. And then you've got the more politics, the more actual business FM stuff in the morning. So we want to try and sort of showcase the different personalities in the BFM brand on video.
Jasmine, you've been around ever since the BFM video team was moving into a direction of its own, trying to complement what Bahir was saying and also what you mentioned. What's been the biggest challenge in video? Is it the content? Is it reaching out to the people? Content seems like, you know, it's galore here in BFM because every day there's just so many interviews. Is it picking the right content? Is it telling that story?
It's definitely telling the story. What if we're going into content per se, it's always about what can we squeeze in 5 minutes? how can we show that story just nice in 5 minutes?
Why 5 minutes?
The attention span. The attention span is crazy. And because we are getting new people in, the first 5 seconds has to matter. The first headline has to matter, essentially. So that was probably the biggest challenge. And back then we were trained by our boss, Ezra Zayed, to go in depth with... back to being emotive and topical. Because what exactly is reachable to the audience right now that we have, instead of chasing after the bigger stories of changing the world, it's more to like, how do we reach hearts? How do we get people to notice us, essentially?
Is being viral part of the thing of, you know, let's try to do this and, you know, try to get it to go viral? Has that kind of came across the conversations when you were doing any stories?
It's always a bonus if it goes viral, but that was never the point. The point is,
you can't plan for it as well.
Can't plan for these things, but I think mainly it has to be good content, essentially, because they might not necessarily see the videos on time, but when they do look back, they see that it's quality content.
When it comes to platforms, you've got YouTube, you've got Facebook, and then, you know, now we've got Instagram with the stories and stuff. Do you look at all these platforms and, you know, just scratch your head and go like, man, this is just way too much, this is just too complicated now? Or do you actually feel like it's benefiting you guys in trying to find, you know, different ways to tell the story in different platforms?
Well, for us, I think when IGTV was launched, the big one, the big sort of, you know, head scratcher that was going around the video team was, do we have to shoot videos in vertical now?
You know, this is a big no-no for so many years.
It's a big no-no for so many years, right? Because, you know, horizontal is how you, your monitors are horizontal, right? Now suddenly you have to think about things vertically. But It's just the different ways to reach out to people. So initially, what we were, part of our strategy initially was that we would use Facebook and YouTube as the main source of channel for our distribution, and then we would use Instagram and Twitter as just trailers. We would put up trailers to hope to direct people over. But then later on, we realized that we could create different content for different platforms. So our longer form, and when I say longer form, I mean within 3 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes, would go on Facebook and YouTube. But then on Instagram, we would do shorter snippets, 30-second snippets, or we would do, or the digital team is doing things like having IG stories where they will show the picture and they will have a video waveform of what the snippet of the conversation was, or they'll show the trailer of the show and use that as a, I think, about 2 minute piece of footage that people then can jump out of and into. So you always look at it as not just channels of distribution, but different markets as well. So the Instagram market is your footage, your video needs to be snappier, funnier, better music, really fast cuts. But then your long form emotive stuff goes on YouTube and Facebook.
Let's talk a bit about fun stuff. What has been some of the best or most memorable video shoots that you guys have done? Not necessarily the output, but just the day of shooting, where, you know, it's, you know, whether it's in the hot sun or in the studio itself, one that you would never forget.
I don't know. We've had a few. Last year, Jasmine did a season of shows called Atypical. I don't know, the first episode of that one we shot was, we went to see a taxidermist.
Oh yeah, we did.
So that was a little weird, you know, and he was prepping a chicken for us.
Yeah, you know, he cut up a chicken and then
pulled out its guts, and, you know, and we just got it all on camera. So that was fun. I think for me personally, there are two. I like another, again, season of Atypical, we shot with a lady here who makes her own cheeses.
Oh yeah, that went quite
that
far.
That went viral. The reason I like that is because her cheeses were amazing, and we got so much free cheese. And she still calls us back once in a while. You know, she'll just go, "Hey, come by for Raya," you know, and she'll do like a small open house just for us. Nice. So we'll just have free cheese,
which is great.
Yeah,
that was a lot. We ate so much cheese.
That was disgusting. My other favorite one was the stadium. Just in terms of size and scale, we were we were able to convince PNB to give us access to the stadium for 2 full days. So we were there from 6 in the morning till about 8, 9 o'clock at night. We got them to turn on the stadium lights. You know, right. I'll just run down to the management. Hey, later.
You just felt like a little boy.
Oh, no, completely, right? And not only just that, it's Stadium Merdeka.
Yeah.
It's
history,
not,
in
it. It's not just any building that I get free run on. This is the stadium. We were walking on the field. Me and Ezra were just
everywhere,
like running up and down the field. We were standing in the middle of the kickoffs. You know, we went and phantom kicked a few penalties. You know, it was crazy amazing. Yeah.
Stadium was a big, big project that we had, and I think the fact that we get to relive the moments, that was incredible, because we were also in rooms that weren't supposed to be open. We were running up and down all the way backstage, like finding, go through the gates that can't be open. I think that was a great experience, I think.
Mm. Right. Climbing things we weren't supposed to be climbing on for a camera shot. You know,
it was a stadium for you guys. And we're like, great.
For 2 days. Yeah, it was fun.
That was great. And all of these videos, they can still, you know, people can still find them on YouTube and all, right?
Yeah.
It's all
just head over to our Facebook page. I think that's where you'll find most of our stuff. Actually, all of our stuff are there. Mm-hmm. Going all the way back to 2013, 2012, 2010. You want to see a young Umar? Go check out our videos.
How are you keeping up with that, you know, that unique label on us?
Well, I suppose it's constantly figuring out what's new online. And to compare to other places that we have in Malaysia, for example, Roommate. Roommate was a lot to do with, oh, I like this sort of visual and this sort of topic that may allow a lot of millennials in Malaysia to relate to. And I think by pushing that, it's not just by, okay, our standard is, if you go back to our 2014, everything is just a one camera, one person, and maybe you'll see a host. But now it's more to, how do we edit more? How do we put colours in? How do we... We're constantly trying to figure out ways to do that, because even if you see the timeline, we want to see progress.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Bye. How are we pushing them?
I think it's also, I think technically we're trying to make things different, right? So I think late last year we bought ourselves a drone. So we're trying, so we're using stuff like that. We're taking it to the another level of...
It wasn't just a toy.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. So the thing was that we didn't want to just do the standard camera on a tripod shots, right? Mm. So we now have drones. We might invest in a gimbal. We might invest in more lenses, essentially. So we're looking at expanding the arsenal of technical equipment that we have, and supporting that with, like Jasmine was saying, with different editing styles, with a lot more, using a lot more graphics, potentially simpler graphics, or maybe with the bigger stuff using bigger crews, you know. So we're trying to step up the game with regards to the export by using the different available equipment, while still not losing track of what makes a BFM video a BFM video. You know, it still has to be emotive. The stories have to be there. You still have to be a Malaysian story. You have to be something that will attract a certain group of people. You know, we've got a bit of a thing where we try and say, okay, who is this video for? You know, there's this quote that I like from a movie, or no, from a TV series, where they say, if I was making a piece of video or piece of film, would I watch it? If I had kids, would I want them to watch it? And would I want my parents to watch it? And if the answer to any of those is a yes, then that's the video we'll do.
Idols, finally, is there anyone that you look up to in when making your videos, Jasmine? Especially with your Roommate videos, they're very snappy, atypical as well. So there seems to be a style that you've discovered. Is there an idol that you admire and you try to be like?
Not a particular idol per se, but perhaps a platform. With that in regards, I was looking at New York Times a lot. New York Times had a really... they had a really niche way on doing it. And I think it's probably them a lot.
Why?
Yeah, I mean...
Fox.
Yeah, I'll have to go with Jasmine. Yeah, it has to be someone like Vox or Vice Media, you know? Vice Media, in terms of the stories they tell. They... you know, they'll send a camera crew to Ibiza and do a thing about the party culture there, you know, or and they will send a team down to Ukraine during the war, you know. Is that sort of, not necessarily in-depth analysis, but that look into a culture or a personality. They've done an entire series on the UK's pub culture. But on the flip side of that, I like the way Vox delivers information. You know, Vox is very graphics heavy, very animation heavy, but the points are there, the facts are there, and it's all done in 5 minutes. So it has to be those two organizations for me personally.
And if you combine those two and do it as part of BFM video, we've got a great product then.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping for, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bahe Yusuf and Jasmine Sia from BFM's video team. You can check out the videos that they and the team have done on the BFM's Facebook page. That is facebook.com/BFM Radio. Of course, don't forget to check out our website as we have a very special landing page for today, the 4th of September. It's been a long journey, but it doesn't stop here. As you may have heard from some of the brains behind BFM's digital push, we're constantly pushing the boundaries and exploring ways to go beyond the norm. Some of our ventures may work and some don't, but try is better than none. Hope you stick around with us, not just for the next hour, but hopefully for the next 10 years. Before I end this episode, I would just like to wish BFM a very big happy 10th birthday, as you've been a huge part of my life and the journey is still as exciting from the first day I stepped into the office back in 2010. And for those of you who have been listening to us, a very big, big thank you, as we could not have done it without any of you. We're constantly learning and improving, and we're glad to see more new fans of our station. Feedback is vital for us to keep improving, be it our shows or our platforms like our apps. So don't be afraid to reach out to us and tell us how you feel, the good and the bad. We want to hear from you. My name is Jeff Sandhu. Until the next show, thank you for tuning in to us. You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.